Right now, we go out to our Progressive guest line. First guest of the day. Always great to talk some ball with our guy, Zach Cohen, who joins us right now. Follow him at Betting on X as we go to the Progressive guest line. Good to see you, Zach. We were joking during the break that, you know, Zach is just sweating like ITF, you know, level 125 women's events while we're all watching the Open Championship. But that's neither here nor there on the tennis side. Summer League, you've been, I will give you a shout out because you gave out over the, this was last week, you gave out Orlando Magic as a, like, kind of a long shot Summer League play, and I at the very least they got off to a good start here. They beat Detroit by like 30, and Orlando is just looking up to see where they're at today. Magic playing against Brooklyn. They have been favored here throughout this tournament, so you've been pretty spot on there, Zach. I will give you credit because I don't think many people are diving into rosters on Summer League, but at least a good job by you on that so far.
Yeah, I gave out the Magic and Raptors as futures. I think both started 2-0, but I think they both missed the semifinals. I believe that I think so. I think all teams play five games, but the first 3 days determined who would be in the semifinals. So, you know, they're just playing these next two games, but they don't really matter.
Well, I take it all back, Zach. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
I take it all back. At least for the, you know, to start out though, I mean, the betting markets have shown a lot of teams, but there have been some kind of wild disparities as far as the odds go. While I think most people were kind of very, very casually watching that, the Bronny James game last night, obviously the big headline. The win totals came out, at least at DK, were posted late Sunday. We are starting to see them populate here in Vegas. Kelly has made a couple bets, which we're going to talk about in a little bit. As far as these win totals here for NBA, fascinating that they come out at this time of year, especially as it's a dead time in the sports calendar for the most part, and we have a lot more opportunity to dive in and get the breakdowns. What stood out to you as you started to look at some of these win totals?
I thought that the Suns total was a little too low. I mean, granted, I am a Suns fan, but, you know, they did win 49 games last year in a year that people viewed as, you know, a disaster for them. And they had a lot of bad injury luck a year ago. I don't think that the team ever really gelled under Frank Vogel. I think that bringing Mike Budenholzer in is going to really help Phoenix. Budenholzer is one of the best regular season coaches of all time. And honestly, he plays, you know, a system that is going to prioritize the three ball, which is something that the Suns really need to do, that they are at, you know, a mathematical disadvantage every night with the amount of mid-range jumpers that they take between Durant, Beal, and Booker. So just having someone come in there and tell them, look, you need to start taking more threes to keep up with opponents is going to help quite a bit. But at the same time, they also added, you know, two rotation players in Monty Morris and Mason Plumlee, two guys that are proven, know how to play off the bench. That's not something that they had last year, especially at the point guard position. People were really clamoring for Phoenix to add a point guard. So I just kind of think that, you know, 47 wins is very realistic. I honestly think that the Suns are going to be a threat to win 50 with Budenholzer at the helm. I think that they're a little bit underrated heading into the season because of what the Timberwolves did to them last year. And then I also kind of felt a little bit similarly about the Cleveland Cavaliers down at 47.5. I think that that number was also a little too low. It's a team that won 48 games last year, despite, you know, Donovan Mitchell, Evan Mobley, and Darius Garland all missing, like, you know, a quarter of the season at different times. They were never really healthy. They're going to have those guys back in the mix this year. Kenny Atkinson coming in to be their new head coach. I think he's going to do a good job. Just an offensive coach that I think is really, really good, honestly. I thought that he did a better job with the Nets than people gave him credit for. A lot of off-ball movements going to be expected there. So if that defense stays in that top 10 range, I think that the offense probably gets to around top 10, top 12, and I just would be surprised if Cleveland doesn't win at least 48.
Yeah, Zach, I know you and I were texting a little bit the other day. I like both of those. Any concern? We heard a lot about the trade talks around the draft with the Suns, and then we've kind of heard Darius Garland hanging around almost all summer about something that happens with him. Where are you at with both those teams right now? You think those rosters kind of stay set?
I think so. I mean, I think that the Durant stuff was just a lot of smoke. I think that a lot of teams try to, you know, play vulture with the Suns, especially with Durant, just to try to see how unhappy he is, you know, put out there that your team's looking to trade you, see if that upsets you and make you force a trade. I don't think it's going to happen. I think you saw, you know, Matt Ishbia come out and double down saying, you know, we're all in on Kevin Durant. Durant recently did a couple of interviews and said that he's really happy in Phoenix. So I think that he has a much better relationship with, you know, Devin Booker and the rest of this team than people think. And I think he is pretty happy in Phoenix. So I'd be pretty surprised if he's traded. I think with Garland, I'm not terribly high on the fit between him and Mitchell to begin with. So if they did move him and they got like a pretty serviceable wing, I don't think that anything would be much worse. So I wouldn't feel any worse about that over if they did move Garland.
Yeah, I have a feeling I will be following along with you, Zach, on the over on the Cavs. I did bet it last year, though, and it didn't get home. So that's kind of in the back of my mind as well.
Don't let that influence you, Kelly. Come on. Classic, the classic bettors mentality. As Zach Cohen joins us at Betting on X, where you follow Zach, our senior editor at VSiN.com. You bring up, too, one of the many teams that are viewed to be competitive in the Western Conference landscape with Phoenix. That's, to me, what was so fascinating when you saw these win totals drop, right, Zach? It's like Grizzlies 47.5. I'm just running down the list here of where DK has these at. Suns 46.5, Kings 46.5, Pelicans 45.5, like Lakers 44.5, Warriors 43.5, even the Rockets at 42.5 have gotten a lot of buzz after finishing 500 last year. Like, not all these teams are going to have success. I mean, we didn't even mention the San Antonio Spurs, who are even further down on the odds board. Isn't that kind of the one angle for bettors to at least parse through and say, you know, the way this is going to work out, you're going to have 11 to 12 pretty competitive teams in the West. Obviously, only 10 even get into the play-in tournament. Only 8 make the actual postseason. And as a result of that, just some of these win totals in general, Zach, will not be attainable based on that.
Yeah, that's kind of why I'm staying away from win totals in the 50s. I just think it's going to be a gauntlet in the West. I should mention, just because we're talking teams that might not make the playoffs, I do think that one of my favorite bets heading into the season is Warriors to miss the playoffs at minus 110. I don't really see what they're doing with this roster. I thought that letting Clay walk, you know, it made sense, I guess, like if they didn't want to pay him, you know, $25 million, but he ended up getting a pretty reasonable deal in my opinion. So maybe he wouldn't have taken that with Golden State. You know, it was a principal thing, but, you know, bringing in Kyle Anderson, Buddy Hield, and DeAnthony Melton, that does not excite me with the roster that they currently have. I'm not as high on Jonathan Kuminga as other people are. I do think that, you know, there's some potential for them to take that swing on Lauri Markkanen. I mean, I saw that, you know, DK did not hang a win total on Golden State, and I do think, you know, there's the same with the Jazz. So I think that there's something there with maybe they are going to finish that trade before the season. Maybe that's the way that they get in. But I'm still not even sure that if you move all your depth, if you move Pajemski, Kuminga, you know, and all your picks for marketing, I'm just not positive that there's still a playoff team there.
And there were three teams that have not been hung as a result of just what you're talking about, some of that speculation, Zach, as to what could happen here in the short term. But the Warriors, as Zach mentions, about minus 110 either way to make or miss the postseason. As far as these award markets, Kelly's teased that we're going to talk about some of his awards bets. He's made a couple. Anything that stood out from those initially being priced for you?
Not much, honestly. I jumped on Wemby at 40-1. I think JVT, Kelly and I all texted when we saw that number. I feel pretty good about that now that Paul's there, because I do think that he's just going to put up stupid numbers. I think that San Antonio, you know, flirts with 35, 36 wins, but if they do somehow get to 40 or so and Wemby puts up the numbers we think he's going to, I think he's going to be in the conversation. Like, you see these clips coming out of him, you know, at the France practices, like he's just hitting step back threes over guards. Like, he just looks absolutely ridiculous. And I do think they put a good team around him this year, so I think he's going to look a lot better.
Thanks for including me on that group text, although I have not done NBA shows with you guys in the past, so I don't blame you or beseech you.
You can grab 30.
You're an extended chat.
I'm an extended chat. 20. Yeah, I see 28-1 at DK. Is it weird to you guys? I'll include Kelly in this too. That for most improved player, Wembanyama is also the co-favorite here. He's 10-1 after being rookie of the year a season ago. It's just kind of weird to me. I don't know how to really think about it.
Well, I think I just hate that market more than anything imaginable.
Yes. He
should not be eligible to win most improved player. We know he's already like just a freak. So what would he have to do next season to be the most improved player? It's insane.
So that's where I made a couple bets. I'll get to those later. Okay. I think it's the one market you can bet a little earlier. One of the awards markets you can bet a little earlier. I'm with you though, Zach and Ben. How many awards are we going to give the guy at the end of the day? I think that's where you kind of have to draw the line. And that's where I would, kind of the reason why I wouldn't bet him there. If we're thinking defensive player of the year, maybe more, how many is he possibly going to take down?
That's a great point. Zach Cohen, always good to see him. VSiN senior editor at Betting on X. Great to see you as always, Zach. Appreciate it.